This morning's sermon is called The Death of Lazarus from the book of John, chapter 11, verse 1 through 16. As we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. We're halfway through this Gospel. This chapter is dedicated to the resurrection of Lazarus, but there is so much more for us to learn from this passage and this chapter. This is a real-life story about a man by the name of Lazarus that had been dead for 4 days. Most of you know this story. Those of you who have read this story, you know that he had two sisters, Martha and Mary. As we read through the Gospels, we have found out that Jesus was very close to this family. They were close friends and they were followers of Jesus. Right? They had come to believe and know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, God in the flesh, a good friend to have, right? The Bible tells us this was a family that Jesus loved. He loved this family, which explains in verse 35, when we eventually get there, it says that Jesus wept when he arrived to raise Lazarus from the dead. He was very upset, seeing how upset his sisters, Martha and Mary, were, that Jesus wept. We really see the humanity side of Jesus in this story. Jesus wept. He was very upset seeing his sisters so upset that Lazarus had died. This is the last and most powerful public miracle that Jesus did, that without a doubt proven that he is exactly who he declares to be, the Son of the living God, God in the flesh. This miracle is another sign pointing to the deity of Christ. We really again see Jesus' humanity and his deity in this chapter coming together during this powerful miracle. And Jesus tells us in verses 25 and 26 of this chapter, he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And he who lives and believes in me shall never die." Jesus wants you and I to know this. This is a promise from our Lord. So let's go through the beginning of this wonderful story. We're going to look at the first 16 verses of this chapter. There's 57 verses in this. It's probably going to be in this chapter for about 4 weeks. We're going slow. We want to know what the Lord has to say to us. Amen? So if you brought your Bible with you, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 11, or you can follow along on the wall. Let's go through the Word of God. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. John wrote, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, the sisters sent to him, to Jesus, saying, 'Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick.'" Remember, we read last Sunday at the end of chapter 10 that Jesus had left Judea and he went beyond the Jordan River. Remember we read that? We went through that. So he is about 30 miles away from Lazarus and Martha and Mary. So this is why the sisters sent the message, a messenger to Christ to let him know that Lazarus was very ill and about to die. And his sisters sent a messenger to let Jesus know, and here's the message. Jesus, behold, the one whom you love is sick. Their appeal isn't based on Lazarus' love for Jesus, although he loved Jesus. Instead, they only talk about Jesus' love for Lazarus. I find this very fascinating and very powerful. It's like praying for somebody and saying, Lord, so-and-so is sick. Listen, whom you love. Whom you love. The one whom you love, Lord, is sick. Please help us, Lord. I love that. I absolutely love that. The girl's request for their brother is, Lord, come and help the one whom you love. That is powerful. Add that to your prayers the next time you pray for someone that belongs to Christ. Lord, the one whom you love is sick, and I'm asking for help. Your child is sick. The one you love is not doing well. Please help, Lord. How powerful is that? This is the girl's message. Very simple. They tell the messenger, you need to go 30 miles to find Jesus, and this is our message that we want you to give him when you see him. Lord, the one whom you love is sick. We need help. Wow. Add that to your prayers. Powerful. You want to get the Lord's attention? Say that very thing. The one whom you love, the one who belongs to you, is not doing very well. Please help. Let's take a look in verse 4. This is why Lazarus was sick, right here. When Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Just like the blind man, right? That the Son of God may be glorified through it. So the messengers arrive. The messenger arrives, Jesus heard it, his disciples heard the message, and Jesus tells them and the messenger, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Just like the blind man we read about in chapter 9, he healed him for his glory. Jesus literally says, I got this. This is part of the plan. And Jesus tells them, I just want you to know that God is going to be glorified through this. And Lazarus is not going to die for long. Jesus, being God, already knew what was going on. Just like Jesus knows everything that's going on in your life, in my life. When trials and tribulations and struggles and difficulties time, you should know, belonging to God, he knows. He is well aware of what you're going through. Just like he did Lazarus, he knows. And you should know that when trials and tribulations or struggles comes into your life, he knows all about it. He knows all about it. And he wants you to know, he knows exactly what you're going through. Even though Lazarus dies for 4 days, Jesus reveals that the situation is ultimately for a greater purpose. And that purpose is to glorify God, and that the Son would be glorified through it, and belief would be strengthened. That their belief would be strengthened through this miracle. So let's look at verse 5 and 6. John wrote, Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he, Jesus, heard that he, Lazarus, was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Now, wait a minute here. Is I reading what I think I'm reading? This doesn't sound like love. It says, when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed an extra 2 days. Only the Lord could do that. What's going on here? This doesn't sound like love to us. Oh, is the Lord speaking to us through his word? The Lord wants you and I to know that a time of great distress, if God isn't moving as fast as you would like him to move, it isn't because he doesn't love you, but he has a plan, and he has that plan in his hand. He's in control, and the safest place to be is inside the will of God. Amen? He is speaking to us right here, letting you and I know that if I don't come immediately to save you or rescue you, it's not because I don't love you, but I have a greater plan. Oh, is the Lord speaking to us? God's timing and purposes are greater than human understanding. And trials can be used to reveal God's glory and strengthen our faith. Jesus' love for Martha and Mary is to let, listen, Jesus' love for Martha and Mary is to let them walk through the valley. We don't like walking through the valley. But he's going to let them walk through the valley to strengthen their faith. And that he is going to be glorified through this miracle. Here's the spiritual lesson right here to you and me. God's working even when we don't understand. He's already got it all figured out. And sometimes God's delays are not a denial. We need to understand that. It's preparation. It's his preparation, right? We want it one and done, right? It says, we pray once, Lord, what are you, 2 days late, Lord. I prayed for this 2 days ago, right? That doesn't work with the Lord. He's going to make you wait it out, that he may be glorified and your faith may be strengthened. There's always a purpose if you're living inside the will of God. And that is the safest place you could be and I can be, is inside his will. Not our will, his will, right? Let your will be done, right? We say that, we just said it, right? In our Lord's Prayer, let your will be done. Delays can serve a greater purpose. Difficult situations can deepen faith. Jesus acts with divine purpose, not human urgency. We need to know that. We want it fast. He has a purpose. The death of Lazarus is going to put the glory of God on display right in this chapter. We're going to go through it. And that's what we read in verse 4. It says that this event took place for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Jesus loves them, and in the way he will display his love towards them is by revealing the glory of God to them. And this sickness in Lazarus is going to bring glory to God. It's going to reveal the Son of God for who he truly is, and through it, we're going to see many are going to be brought near to Jesus. There were many witnesses during this miracle that were brought near to Jesus. So let's take a look at verse 7 and through 10. Then after, this is after the 2 days. 2 days are up, okay? Then after this, he, Jesus, said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again. Let's head to the city." The disciples said to him, to Jesus, "Rabbi, lately the Jews, the religious leaders, sought to stone you, and you are going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. That's interesting, right? Isn't that interesting? So after these 2 days are up, Jesus tells them, 2 days are up, it's time to go, boys. We're heading to Judea. Okay? And the disciples were like, why are we going back to Judea? We just escaped from being stoned to death. What are you thinking, Lord? Jesus replies, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in a day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if one walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am going in the light of God's divine plan. This is what he's saying. It's kind of like a proverb, right? Let's go. That's kind of like a proverb. Let's go get the work done while it's day, while we got daylight. Let's get to work, right? It's like you and me. Let's go share the gospel before it gets dark. This is what this is. So let's look at verse 11 through 14. These things he, Jesus, said. After that, he said to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will be well. They're still not on board going, right? However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. The disciples were like, let's let Lazarus sleep. He needs rest, Lord. He'll be fine. Just let us just stay right here. And Jesus tells them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He's not sleeping. When Jesus said in verse 11, I'm going to wake him up, as in he's going to raise him from the dead. And I am going to do this, which we read in verse 4, I am going to do this for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Let's take a look at verse 15. This is very interesting right here, right? Look at verse 15. Jesus said to them, the disciples, I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. That's interesting, huh? Talking to his disciples, his followers. I am glad for your sakes, he told his followers, that I was not there, that you may believe. Many of Jesus' disciples struggled with faith. Hard to believe, right? They struggled. Jesus would often tell them, as you're reading through the scripture, oh, you of little faith. How many times we see that in the scripture, Jesus in the gospel talking to his disciples. Oh, you of little faith. How long have I been with you? You've seen these healings, and you still need your faith strengthened. Oh, you little faith. He says, I'm glad we weren't there. So now when I go there and I raise Lazarus from the dead, you will see it and you will know and your faith will be strengthened. You know, I just want to say, maybe some of you struggle with your faith. It's common. Remember, these are Jesus' disciples. They were walking with Jesus, God, in the flesh. And they struggled with their faith from time to time. And they witnessed all the miracles, or most of them. But yet they struggled in their faith. So how can we strengthen our faith? I was hoping you were going to ask that. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I've you guys have heard me quote this. We just talked about this in the Bible study on Thursday afternoon about this verse. That faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. If you're not in God's word daily, you are going to struggle with your faith and trusting in God. That's God's word to you and I. This is a must for every believer. Even if it's just for a little bit, things will change. Even if you're in the word for a little bit each day, your faith will be strengthened. The Bible teaches us that faith is fueled by the word of God. Romans 10:17 teaches us that faith doesn't grow by accident. It grows by the word of God. That's God's word to you and me. Think about how this works in our everyday life. If all you hear is fear, doubt, negativity, it'll shape your way of thinking. Amen? You ever been around a person who's just a negative, downer? Every day, whining day in and day out, negative. They'll bring you down. They will bring you so far down if that's all you hear. God says, you better get my word, or the world's going to destroy you. Because all that's going on out there in the world is that type of stuff. Fear, anxiety, depression, negativity. God says, you better stay in my word because you are going to be depressed like them, you're going to struggle like them, and you're going to be miserable inside. What we feed our ears will fill our hearts. If it isn't the word of God, it's going to be the world. We must fill our hearts with the word of God, his promises, his truth, his love, and our faith will become stronger. That's God's word to us. Jesus told his disciples, I am glad for your sake that we weren't there, that you may believe. So when we go there and I raise Lazarus from the dead, your faith will be strengthened because I know you still struggle with your faith. You've been with me for 2.5 years now, Jesus is telling his disciples. We're about 4 months from the crucifixion, from where we are here. And Jesus continued to strengthen their faith in him. When Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, lives are going to be changed. Faith is going to blossom. Joy is going to be restored. But the disciples didn't see any of this. They saw danger. All they saw was danger. And then there's Thomas in the next verse, verse 16. Let's look at verse 16. Here's Thomas, Mr. Doubter himself. Right? He's known as Thomas the Doubter. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die too. I mean, what a downer. Right? You'd be around a guy like this, like, hey, man, you're bringing me down every day. I mean, this guy was a negative Nelly. Right? This is what I say. Yeah, let us go too. We must die with Jesus. Let's go. At least that's how I read it. But I will say this. He was willing to die for Jesus. He may have been a downer. He may have been a negative Nelly. But he was willing to die with Jesus. This shows his loyalty, his courage, and his growing faith, even if imperfect. They thought for sure that once they arrived back in Judea, the religious leaders were going to stone Jesus to death, and most likely them right after. But Jesus' hour, as we've been reading, had not yet come. Jesus was on a divine schedule. That's why these men could never kill him until his hour came. And he willingly let them kill him, crucify him. Before we close, John highlights something that is very important, yet rarely understood. To be loved by Jesus isn't always receiving what you want. Okay? But what you need the most, which is a deeper, more profound experience of the glory of God. It's not that he doesn't love you. He does. But he has a plan. You just don't know it. Amen? All right, to be continued next Sunday. We'll keep going through this wonderful story. Let's go ahead. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking directly into our hearts this morning, Lord, that you, oh Lord, would you just continue to feed us spiritually, help us grow in our faith as well. When times come, Lord, we don't understand why certain things are happening, that we must trust your heart, your will. And just because we don't get what we want right away, Lord, it doesn't mean that you do not love us, but you are looking out for us. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.